As usual, we have challenging words from Jesus today. He says that we must love even our enemies, to wish the best even for those who are persecuting us, to be able to give to others without counting the cost, being generous to those who cannot or will not pay us back. How free we would be if we could live in this way. You know, some people would listen to this gospel and think, well, it's a weak person who forgives like this. It's a weak person who doesn't demand that what's taken from them is returned. It's a weak person who lets hurts go. It's a weak person who doesn't answer tit for tat. But that's not true. Because this is how God is. What we're hearing today is what God's nature is. This is what God's like. This is how powerful God is. This is how God shows his might, that he doesn't respond with tit for tat, that he doesn't demand that every injustice that's done to him is made up for. Instead, he forgives. And he is merciful. So what we're seeing on display is actually the freedom that God has and how God is so free. Jesus says this himself. He says that God is kind even to those who are ungrateful to him, that he's kind even to those who are wicked. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus says something very similar. He says, God causes the sun to shine on the bad and the good alike. And he causes the life-giving rains to fall on the just and the unjust. So God is so free that he's able to treat with love not only those who love him back, but also those who neglect him, for those even those who actively work against him, he loves. So in the lives of the saints, sometimes we see this freedom on display. In our first reading, that's a great example of it, King David. It's actually before David becomes king, when King Saul is recognizing how David is on the ascendancy and he's going to become king himself, and he's filled with jealousy. So Saul is pursuing him, trying to kill him, even though Saul is his father-in-law. And David, even though he's being hunted down by Saul, when he has the opportunity to kill Saul, he doesn't. He lets him go free. He does that two times, actually. His own life is being pursued, but when he has the chance to take the life of his pursuer, he doesn't do it. That's how free David is. He's free. He believes that God's protecting him. I think one of the areas that we can experience great freedom in our life, or we can experience the lack of freedom in our life that Jesus talks about in today's gospel, is in the area of forgiveness. There's a particular saint who really exemplifies the virtue of forgiveness. Most people know her actually as the patron saint of chastity, or the patron saint of young people. That's Saint Maria Goretti. If people know about her, it's often because of the stand that she took for purity and chastity from when she was just a girl of 12 years old. She stood up to the seductions of the young man who was a neighbor, and she refused to give in to his sexual advances, and so he stabbed her 14 times. And a day later she died. Now, she should have died right away, but because the doctors found out later that those knife wounds pierced all the way to her heart, into her lungs, that she had wounds on her throat, she should have died on the kitchen floor, but instead she died 24 hours later, and it was God's providence that she died 24 hours later. Why? Because while she was in the hospital room, with her mother suffering so much, she said to her mother that she forgave Alessandro, who had done that to her. And she said, I want him to be in heaven with me. So that's pretty powerful. So that's why she's not just the saint of chastity, she's also the saint of forgiveness. Beautifully, actually, years later, Alessandro, when he was in prison, he would have this vision of Maria Goretti handing him 14 lilies. And as she handed him a lily, it would burn in his hand. And the thing that he recalled so much about that experience from this dream was her smile. She's smiling at him so tenderly and so lovingly, and he knew that the 14 lilies were represented her forgiveness for the 14 wounds that he had made in her body. And he knew that she had forgiven him, and it changed his whole life. He's not a canonized saint, but he's probably a saint. He lived a holy life to an old age, all because of the power of Maria Goretti's forgiveness. So how do we forgive? It's a very common storyline in movies where someone is wronged at some point in their life, and then they spend years planning their revenge, and then usually the end of the movie is that they finally get their revenge on the person who's hurt them. But what about all those years that they spent planning their revenge against the person who hurt them? Those are miserable years for that person. They're consumed by this need to take revenge, get back at the person who's hurt them. That's miserable. The person who forgives is able to be free. The person who doesn't forgive really can carry a great burden and a lot of baggage around bitterness, resentment, stuff that does not make life free and beautiful and joyful, but the opposite. Thing that makes life feel very burdensome. So why is it so hard to forgive? One of my best friends a couple years ago finished his doctorate, and he wrote, his thesis was entitled The Healing Power of Forgiveness. And he said that the reason it's so hard to forgive is because every time someone hurts us or sins against us, there's something that's taken away from us. And so there's a debt that's owed to us. This person who has hurt me has taken something from me. And so now I'm, until that debt has been resolved, it's going to be a painful place for me. I think this is a really helpful image, this image of this debt. That's this something that's been taken, and now there's a debt. And it runs deeper than just the material things that can be taken from us. If your brother steals $50 from you, that would be bad. And he can give you $50 back. And that would repair the material debt. But that doesn't repair the relational debt or the spiritual debt, because he hurt you. So he can pay you back the money, but that doesn't necessarily undo the wrong that's been caused or the insult that's been caused. And that's something that he's not necessarily able to take care of himself. Even if he comes back to you and says, I'm so sorry I did that, you can still choose not to forgive him. And he can be really sorry, but we can choose to continue to hold that debt towards that person who has hurt us. Maybe you've experienced that yourself, where you've done something wrong and you apologize to that person, but you have the sense that they haven't forgiven that, and that they continue to carry that even though you're really sorry and you've tried to express that before. Maria Goretti, on her deathbed in the hospital, I mean, something very precious was taken from her own life, and the insult that sin also signified. There's no way that Alessandro could have made up for what he did to her. There's no way he can give her life back. He can't restore, even though eventually he would be very sorry for what he'd done. He wouldn't have been able to give her lifeblood back. So that's why forgiveness is so important, because this is what forgiveness does. It doesn't say that what happened to us was okay. It doesn't say that the sin committed against me wasn't that big of a deal. In no way does forgiveness try to whitewash the past, pretend that nothing happened, or at least that nothing serious happened. Instead, forgiveness acknowledges the cost. Forgiveness acknowledges the sin that was done to me. But forgiveness says, I'm no longer going to wait for you to repay the debt that you owe me. But I'm going to let go of the debt. I'm going to let go of it. This is really important because, as we said, this is our choice. It's our choice to let go of the debt. When someone hurts us, even though they might be able to repay materially what was taken from us, they can't undo the wrong that was done to us. So eventually we have to decide that we aren't owed anything anymore. And we let it go. So this is actually what God does for us when he forgives us. Because what happens when we commit an offense against the all-holy, the good, the most merciful God, the most pure one, the infinite one? Well, we, a finite creature, incur a debt now against our infinite God. And this is what the fathers of the church tell us, there's nothing that we can do to make up for our sin. There's nothing that we can do. Why? Because we've sinned against an infinite being. And in order for that wrong to be made right, only an infinite act of reparation can undo what we've done. So this is why before Jesus, it was hopeless for the human person to be able to get back into right relationship with God. So what does God the Father do? He takes human nature and he takes his own divine nature and he unites it in a single person in Jesus. And so the man Jesus walks up to the cross, suffers the consequences for our sin, but because he's God, the offering that he makes is an infinite offering. And so finally, our sins are made up for. Finally, there's no debt owed back to God. So this is why God can forgive us so completely, because Jesus has fulfilled the debt that we owe to God. And so what we could never do, which is to make up for our sins, Jesus has done for us. And so that's why God is so free to forgive, because there's no debt for us to make up anymore, because Jesus has already paid it. This is how generously God loves us in his great mercy. And this is what he's inviting us into this freedom that he has to forgive, this freedom that he has to not hold people bound by debt, but rather to be able to live as free sons and daughters. So brothers and sisters, that person who's hurt us can't make up for the wrong that's been done to us, but Jesus can. St. Vincent de Paul says that forgiving the one who wounds us heals the wound. And so let's ask God to help us to forgive. We can maybe even during this homily, we're thinking, gosh, this person many years ago did this to me. I don't know that I've forgiven them, or I harbor resentment towards this person to this day for what they've done me. Let's bring that to Jesus. That person isn't going to be able to make it up to us. They're not. But Jesus can heal the wound that's there. So let's ask him for the grace to let go of the debt that's owed to us, the debt that's real, but that can't be repaid by that other person. So Jesus, who repays our debt before the Father, now wants to be that healing balm which gives us the freedom to forgive. Let's ask for that gift today so that we can live with the divine freedom that we see in the saints, that ultimately will give us so much freedom, joy, and peace.